difficult to not be with you this morning, and to try to be with you on Sunday, and again here tonight. And we trust that as we travel further on in your lovely island, we're going to Spanish Wells on Friday, and then on to Abaco, Manowar Key, and Marsh Harbour. And hopefully, in the will of the Lord, we are going to stop here for some time before we leave the Bahamas in April. And we should appreciate very much your care for us as we minister in these places in your islands. And then, in the beginning of April, I hope to be back with you here, and then in East Street for some time, and then we are going to the States, to Dallas, where my our son is graduating from Dallas Theological Seminary on May the 4th, and we covet your prayers for him, his wife, and their two children, and all our family. And I trust that the Lord will bless our hearts tonight as we turn to His Word. We will read from 1 John, John's first epistle, on verse chapter 1, and we will read the whole chapter and two verses of the next chapter. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. May God bless His word to us. One of the most wonderful things in our Christian life is fellowship. First, of course, fellowship with God, and then fellowship with each other. In my travels in the Lord's work, I meet people from many different countries, and I travel to many different countries For instance, in Scandinavia, especially Denmark, Britain, the States, and here in the Bahamas, as well as in the Faroe Islands and elsewhere. When we meet a Christian, whatever his nationality is, and we sense and know that he is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something that draws us together. There is a common bond of fellowship between us. We are all one in Christ. We are all one body, the body of Christ, which is the church or the assembly of which he is the head. We are all members of the same body, and we have all the same spirit, and therefore we, so to say, breathe the same air or breath. We have, so to speak, the same life's blood running through our veins. We share a common life. In other words, this is fellowship with God and fellowship with each other as Christians. There are no barriers of nationality or language, culture or color. We are all one in the Lord. And we read a lot about fellowship in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. But I'm thinking of one psalm at this time, Psalm 133. We know it very well, I'm sure. And perhaps we should turn to it and just read it. It's just three verses. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So the people of Israel knew something of fellowship with God in olden days. But surely we who are in the new covenant, who are born again by the Spirit of God, and who are members of Jesus Christ, we know and we feel this wonderful fellowship whenever we come together and whenever we seek the Lord's face, when we are alone with him. Fellowship, or Christian fellowship, is surely a wonderful thing. In the early church, in the Acts of the Apostles, we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. So here we see that fellowship was one of the main things that the Christians came together for. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The theme in this chapter that we read in 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, is fellowship. And firstly, we note the basis of our fellowship. The basis of our fellowship is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary. In the first three verses here of this chapter, we read of him coming from heaven, from the Father, down here on earth. And he became one like us. He always was God, and he remained to be God, but he came in the form of a man. He also was human like you and I. That which was from the beginning. In some translations it says the subject which of we are going to speak now, John says. The subject of which what we are going to speak now is that which was from the beginning, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our eyes have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So here he is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word, as the Word of life, and as the life, and as the eternal life. So, before the Lord Jesus Christ came here, in our human state, we were dead. We were cut off completely from the source of life, from God. We had no communion. We had no fellowship with him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word. Especially John the Apostle uses this wonderful expression, the Word. And here he calls him the Word of life. And we know that we use words in order to communicate with each other. Through our words, we are able to express to our fellow men what we think or what we feel. If we are unable to do that, nobody can understand us. And we would be cut off from the surrounding world. And in the same way, we were cut off from the real world, or from God's existence, from life. We were dead in trespasses and sins, as Paul says in Ephesians. But the Word was manifested. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven and was manifested here and was born in Bethlehem. He became a man like you and I, but he still was the very Son of God. He was the eternal divine Lord Jesus Christ. But he came here in order to communicate with us what was in God's mind, what God thought and felt. He came here to let us know. I'm sure that you have heard of Helen Keller. She was both deaf and blind. And I myself, as I mentioned last Sunday, know something of what people feel when they are deaf or have no hearing, because I have 5 brothers and sisters who have no hearing. But Helen Keller had no hearing and was blind as well. A deaf person is very much cut off from the surrounding world. We have to use sign language. They have to get through their eyes what they cannot get through their ears. And Helen Keller, she had to get through her feelings what she couldn't get in through her eyes and her ears. And the woman who took care of her and made her communicate with the surrounding world of hers, she must have been a wonderful person. But she managed somehow to explain to her all different things, and she became a very educated and wise woman, and a famous woman. I have heard that when she explained water to her, she turned on the tap and held her hand under the water and told her in the sign language that through her, in the palm of her hand, that was water. And in that way, she explained to her so many things that she was able to communicate with her and others. And at one time, when she explained to her about God, she said, "Oh, I know him, but I just didn't know his name." She already had felt or realized in her being that there was a God. But when you think of a person who is deaf or blind, or who is both deaf and blind, or perhaps a person who has no feeling, can you imagine what it is like? It's like a dead person. He is completely cut off from all life around him. And this is a picture of what we were like when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, cut off from God. We all have a desire and longing for communication. We long to get to know people or to speak to people. And everybody of us have this longing for fellowship, communication. And if we have it in a human way, surely we also have it in a spiritual way. So first of all, fellowship with God. How did it come about? It came about through the Lord Jesus Christ when he came here. And when he gave his life on the cross of Calvary, he gave his life's blood for us. He who is the life, he who is the word, he was able to penetrate through our darkness and death, and he gave us spiritual life, spiritual sight, and spiritual hearing, and spiritual feeling. And that is the reason why we are here tonight. That's the reason why we are Christians. Because we were born again by the Spirit of God, and now we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Now, the outcome of our fellowship, secondly, the outcome of our fellowship is that we are able to have fellowship with one another. Because it is impossible to have spiritual fellowship with one another if we do not have fellowship with God. The fellowship with one another is based on our fellowship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and through His Spirit. We have fellowship with our Heavenly Father in our worshipping of Him. And we can come together and worship Him. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 2, it says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. And there we have fellowship with heaven, with God, and we have fellowship with each other. We are able together to worship Him. And we are able together, when we come like that in His name, to have fellowship in prayer. We can pray together as we have done tonight, whether it is with words or without words. We can have fellowship with God in prayer, and we can pray to God for each other. We can also have fellowship in our service. We can serve God together. And it is a wonderful thing to be fellow workers or servants of God, as the scripture says. And we are His fellow soldiers. We are in a spiritual battle, but in our battle, we battle together, not against each other, but we battle together for the gospel, against the powers of darkness. And we are God's fellow soldiers, or each other's fellow soldiers. Then Paul is also speaking about the fellowship of his suffering. When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member is rejoicing, then all of us rejoice. When we remember those of our brothers and sisters who are persecuted, or who are in prison, or who are getting old and weak, or those who are getting sick, whether they are young or old, we feel it, because they are our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and therefore we share this fellowship of His suffering. And then there's also a kind of suffering that we take on us willfully, that we are willing to suffer with Him and for Him in our service and in our proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and testifying for Him. There is a joy in fellowship. And we read in verse 4, and these things we write to you, that you may, that your joy may be full. So there is the joy of fellowship. I know from my brothers and sisters, excuse me for referring to them so often, but I know that sometimes when we who are hearing speak to among ourselves, and then we laugh and so on, they ask, what are you, why are you laughing? Or what do you say? And so on. And then we say, wait a minute, till he finishes the story, or till we have finished. And perhaps then after something funny has been said, we forget to tell them what it was. And you can sense right away that they get so sad, because they feel cut off. They're, so to say, out of fellowship. But if you bring them in and interpret for them, or tell them what they are saying, why we are so happy, why we are laughing and so on, then they can join in and also laugh with us. So fellowship is a source of joy, like we read here. These things write we to you, that your joy may be full. It is so important for us, first of all, to keep our fellowship with God unhindered, so our joy may be full. Because when something comes between God and us, the first thing that happens is that our joy disappears. And we begin to be filled with all other things and thoughts that destroys our joy completely. And also, the fellowship with our brothers and sisters. If something comes in between us, the joy disappears. But when we confess our sins to each other, and of course, first of all, when we confess our sins to God, the joy comes back, and the joy flows into our soul through us and also on to others as well. Then thirdly, the maintenance of our fellowship. Let me say before I say anything more about that, that there are two things that are very important in speaking of fellowship. That is the bond of relationship with God and the bond of communion with each other. There are many, even Christian people who don't understand this. They think that when they lose their communion with God, they cannot pray properly, and when something comes in between that hinders their fellowship, they feel they have lost their salvation. But this is not so. There is the difference between the communion with God, the bond of relationship, and then the bond of fellowship or communion with God and with each other. The bond of relationship can never be severed, because that has been created and bound by God Himself. We are His sons and daughters, and nothing can do away with that. We are born again by the Spirit of God, and we are His children, and He is our Heavenly Father. And nothing what we can do can sever that bond of relationship. We remain His sons and His daughters. As we read in chapter 2, note what he says here in verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Notice that he still says, we have an advocate with the Father. He is still our Father, and we are still His children, even after we have sinned. My little children, he says, these things I write to you that you may not sin. It is not God's will that we should sin or live in a life of sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate, and we still have our Heavenly Father. We still are His children. And that is wonderful to know. That is a great comfort. But although the bond of relationship cannot be severed, it is very easy to break the bond of communion with God. We can easily hurt the Holy Spirit, and then we are not able to communicate Him as we ought or as we were used to. Sin has come into our life. Bitterness, envy, or something. We know all about this from our common life. How easy it is to break this fellowship with God that we can enjoy in our daily life as His children, although the bond of relationship can never be broken. But the maintenance of our fellowship. How are we to maintain our fellowship with God? We can easily deceive ourselves, as we read here. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. There are some who say that one another here speaks of God, that if we walk in the light, then God and I, or God and you, have fellowship with one another. It is possible that it can be understood like that, but it is also possible that it means fellowship with each other as brothers and sisters. But there is always the basis of our fellowship, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sins. We are not, washed over again by the blood of Christ, but the blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all sins. That is our sanctification. Our justification is once and for all, and when we were justified, we were made His sons and daughters, and then our bond of relationship was created. But the basis for our fellowship always remains the same, that is in the virtue of the blood of Christ, we are able to confess our sins as Christians and come back into fellowship with the Father and with each other. And verse 9 tells us how we can maintain our fellowship. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us always to live in an unbroken fellowship with Him. And as I have already mentioned from chapter 1 and the first verses there, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So, let us always be in fellowship with our advocate, or our Heavenly Father, through the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed for us, and maintain this wonderful fellowship in order that our joy may be full and in order to that we may serve Him and He will empower us to live a powerful Christian life that pleases Him. And lastly, the perfection of our fellowship. One day, we will, as we were reminded in the beginning of this service, meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. The Lord was speaking about His coming in John 14. We know that scripture so well. But He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then in chapter 17
of John. In verse 24, we read, Father, this is his priestly prayer. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. The perfection of our fellowship. The Lord Jesus Christ is longing for that day when he shall have full fellowship with us at his throne, in his presence. And each and every one of us longs for that moment, whether we will experience the coming of the Lord when he will rapture us into his presence, or he will take us through death if he tarries. We know that one day we shall be in his presence, and we shall have fellowship with him in a manner that we have never experienced before here. Then we shall see him face to face. We shall hear his voice literally like we have never done here. And we shall embrace him. We shall touch him. You noted that John is using three senses here. Three of our senses. The hearing, the sight, and the feeling. And this is what we one day will experience. Here, we have fellowship with him in the Spirit and by faith. We hear his voice through the Scriptures, the Spirit speaking through us. We see him, and we see those heavenly things by this magnifying glass, so to say, faith that is bringing the heavenly things close before us. And we sense and feel his presence with us. But on that day, when we shall see him, we will see him literally. We will hear his voice, and we will feel his presence, and be able to do what John says there. We touched him. We heard him. We saw him. It was so real to them. This is what he says here and certifies to us, that it is possible to have fellowship with this one on the basis of his death on the cross of Calvary for us. As we look forward to that wonderful moment when we shall see and hear him and feel him, let us enjoy fellowship with God, unbroken, and with one another continually, for his name's sake. Amen.